हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगराधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So Krishna continues his discussion with Arjuna. So this is still on the Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata. Having established that constantly thinking of the Supreme was the highest goal of yoga, Krishna made his own position clear. It is I who should always be remembered, right? Because in yoga, you're remembering the super soul. But as we mentioned before, as Krishna mentioned before, is that the highest goal of yoga is to remember Krishna as Bhagavan. Then yoga is generally focusing on Paramatma, which is his expansion, is the super soul. So that is just manifesting, it's localized. So he's just manifesting the mood of controlling his energies. And so that means you're only dealing with sad and chit. Right? It means he expands as Brahman, you know, his qualities expand unlimitedly, and everything in the cosmos is resting on that. He is existence, and everything has its form, it has its unique nature, it has its purpose, it has its actions based on those qualities of Krishna. And so then you're able to, you know, everything exists in that way. But that being controlled, what is doing what, where, and how, that's being done as Paramatma. So you're dealing with Sat as the existence and Chit as the controller of that. But it's only as Ananda, then that is Krishna himself, then the full form of Sat, Chit, Ananda. Otherwise, the Brahman is a partial aspect of Sat, and the Paramatma is a partial aspect of Sat and Chit. But as Bhagavan, he's the full form of Sat, Chit, and Ananda. So that's why the highest yoga then means the thinking of Krishna. There's no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung upon a thread. I am the creation and dissolution of all the worlds. People are bewildered by material desires, thus they do not know me, who am always above the material world. Right? So the living entity, because he's working with material senses, material mind, and intelligence, and ego, and his consciousness is polluted on the by the material, this identity, then he can't know transcendence, which is beyond this. Right? You can't know, you can't get information beyond what the instruments you're working with are able to get. Like if I have a thermometer, I can tell temperature. I can't tell how fast I'm going in the car. Right? You know, or what color something is. Or, you know, how loud someone is when they're talking. So that's the thing is, one instrument can do one thing within their category. So transcendence is its own category. So the soul, unless he's acting on the platform of the soul, he can't understand what's beyond the material world. If he's identifying with the material body and senses and mind and intelligence, he can't know what's beyond. Therefore, Krishna is always beyond. But that soul that surrenders to him, as you mentioned before, then he always reciprocates. So if you want to know him and serve him, he'll reciprocate and reveal himself. And in this way, then one can be situated on the transcendental platform. Because, as you said, everything rests on him. You know, his unlimited good qualities, that is expanded from him as the Brahma Jyoti. His effulgence is that Brahma Jyoti. It's the effulgence of his qualities. That spreads everywhere. Though those qualities are impersonal in that they're not specifically manifesting any one thing. Like if I say strength, it's a quality. It exists. It has a nature. But just the term strength itself is impersonal. When I say, oh, his arms are very strong, or, you know, like that, then now it becomes a personal thing. It's applied. It's manifest. So his that Brahma Jyoti of his good quality is unlimitedly expanding. Now, if things are manifest on that, then you have the specific detail. But they have to have an existence. That existence is based on him. He is existence. So everything's strung on him like pearls are strung on a thread. You take out the thread, you know, you do not have a necklace. The whole thing falls apart. People are bewildered by material desires. Thus, they do not know me, who am always above the material world. It is hard to fully overcome attraction to this material world and its allurements. Only by surrendering to me is it possible. It may take many births and deaths of striving in yoga until one finally comes to understand me. It is a rare soul who achieves such perfection, right? So that's the thing. Since it's the highest point is this bhakti, very few come to that platform because they're so absorbed in other things. You can say, no, but there's so many people. Yes, but how many living entities are there? It's just like, how many ants are there in your house, right? And everybody's got ants in their house. So that means there's unlimited living entities as ants, and that's just ants. And then we take worms, we take flies, we take this, we take that. You know, we take grass, and like that, or microbes. So you're talking about huge, unlimited amount, and only a small amount of them are human. And of those, only a small amount are interested in spiritual life. Of those, only a small amount are actually interested in serving God, knowing God. So even though it may be many from our perspective that, there's tens of thousands or hundreds or millions, but still compared to all living entities, it's not that many, right? So Krishna's making that point is it's rare, so therefore you should take advantage of it. You should see its importance. Right? Due to their lack of intelligence, most men are content to worship lesser gods. Other foolish men think that beyond me lies some impersonal supreme existence. Because of deep-seated material desires, such fools can never know me, although I am the Lord and the knower of all living entities. Right? So from the material platform, you can see as all this is there, and you see all the laws of nature, you'll never say something manifest on its own. It had to have a source. And so it's all there. But spiritual must be different, so they think of it as being opposite. So that means something will just exist without a source. They'll take it that the spiritual world is opposite of the material world. And being opposite of the material world, then it wouldn't have any of the qualities here. And so that's actually material intelligence, material logic, because you're looking, that's logical. But what they're forgetting is that, but it's also logical that everything has a source, right? And so therefore, the material world has to be having some source. And just as, and that you have, you know, people here and you have families and you have activities, that has to have a source, right? And so that is coming from the spiritual platform. That's coming from the Supreme Lord. So because he is Satchitananda, or eternity, knowledge, and bliss, that's why then here, there's an existence, people have knowledge and they act, and they're trying to find happiness. So the spiritual realm is then its natural, eternal perfection of these things. So then they think that, the existence is beyond that. But we can understand existence just means it's there. You know, like the chair exists, but then it has qualities, it has activities, it has purposes. Right? It's supposed to be, you can sit down on it and it's comfortable. So if you have a chair that you can sit in but it's not comfortable, or you can't sit in it, and every time you sit it falls over or something, then it doesn't have a purpose, it's not a proper chair. But the chair exists, right? This chair is different from another chair, that's why you can sit in it. Otherwise someone's already sitting in the chair. If this is the same chair, how will you sit in it? Someone else is there. It has to have uniqueness. It has an activity, means that it can hold you up off the floor. And it has a purpose that it holds you, it has that thing, it holds you off the floor, and that makes you comfortable like that, you're happy. So it's based on existing. If it wasn't existing, you can't do those things. So to say existence is beyond these things, no, existence is the bottom. But because that's the lowest here, then they'll say, then the top there must be the highest. But the thing is no, it doesn't work like that. It's existence is the lowest thing in the spiritual world, therefore is considered the highest tier. Like that. That makes sense? Yeah. Because of deep-seated material desires, such fools can never know me, although I am the Lord and the knower of all living beings. Right? He's the source of all living beings. He's living in the heart, and being in the heart, he knows all living beings and what they're doing and what they're thinking. We can know what we're thinking, but we can't know what the other person is thinking. You know, we can look at it and try to get an idea, but we don't know. He's sitting there. He knows. Arjuna was feeling assured by Krishna's instructions. All his life, he had only thought of Krishna as his protector and greatest friend. Now Krishna was telling him that this was life's perfection, the highest achievement in life, was to remember Krishna at the moment of death and thus attain his eternal spiritual abode. But this required a lifetime of practice. Arjuna listened without question, as Krishna described the best processes for always remembering him. Right, so since you're trying to get to that point of being absorbed in the Lord, now Krishna is going to explain these different ways that you can get to that. So Krishna says, speaking here, "This is the king of knowledge, Arjuna, the most secret of secrets and the perfection of religion. It is I alone whom to be worshipped and served with love. Fools cannot understand how I am able to assume a human form and appear in this world. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of everything. Intelligent men, however, are fully engaged in my devotional service. They are always chanting my glories, endeavoring to please me with great determination, bowing down before me and worshipping me with all their hearts. I always personally protect such persons. I am indebted to anyone who lovingly offers me even a leaf, flower, fruit, or water. Therefore, you should do everything as an offering to me, O son of Kunti. In this way, you will achieve perfection. This is the highest instruction. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee, offer obeisances to me, and worship me. By such full absorption in me, surely you will come to me, life's supreme goal." Right? So he's described that these are the ways that you can be absorbed in the Lord. Since it's about that, then with that great determination, not being, you're performing your duties without that attachment, and you have the proper knowledge of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, then you're, with that determination, then you're worshiping Krishna. Let you worship him, you're offering whatever you're doing, you're offering to him. And then we see here is that, you know, you're always engaging the mind and thinking, he's being a devotee and practicing that, offering obeisances, so he sees him as the Supreme, and worshiping him. And so like that, then one can always be absorbed in the Lord. Arjuna was now looking at his friend with amazement and love. The Supreme Lord had become his charioteer. Surely this was a testament of his loving reciprocation with the devotees. Who could ever understand it? Krishna seems so human. How would people be able to accept this supreme divinity? So he's pointing out he's the supreme absolute truth, but you see, well, he's just driving a chariot. But the point is he being that supreme because of his devotee, he's come and is interacting with his devotee. He's a kshatriya doing his work. He comes down, he interacts with him. So the main point is about the transcendental position, that the reciprocation between the Lord and the devotee. Here we think it's about, you know, becoming, getting ahead in the world, making money, getting a position. But all that is simply so that the more gain I get, the more I feel safe. That's because, you know, without these things, then there's so much trouble. But then the problem comes, there's death, and then you lose it all again. And then you're born again, and then you have to start all over. So when you're on the transcendental platform where you don't have the temporary position, that's not the worry. So that the struggle for existence and performing your activities to get ahead, that's not the point. It's about loving relationships. You know, you have nice family, nice, you know, downtime. We don't have to worry about all those other things. A person can sit with the family and enjoy that time with the family. And that's, you know, that's what drives him to do all that work. So the point is, the spiritual world is just based on that position of that reciprocation between the Lord and the devotees. Because he being the source of everything, there's no shortage. He being eternal and his pastimes being eternal, there's no loss of anything. Right? He being knowledge, he being all, everything's already there. But now it's about the taste of that relationship with the Lord. Again, understanding Arjuna's doubts, Krishna went on. "Those who are devoted to me are able to know of my position in opulence. Because you are my dear friend, I will explain further about myself. Not even the demigods and great sages can know me in full, for in every respect I am their source. I am the source of all things material and spiritual. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my loving devotional service. Their thoughts always dwell in me, and they derive great pleasure from talking about me. To those who are constantly serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. With a shining lamp of knowledge, I destroy all their ignorance." Right? So this is that what he's giving here. This is the Chatur Shloki, or the four main central verses of the Bhagavad Gita. And so then he's pointing out is that those who are devoted, they know the position and everything like that. So they do everything to please the Lord. These are great sages that who have the greatest knowledge and all that, and the greatest personalities, great kings, great all these. So them and their studies and their practices, they see this and realize this. Therefore, they only they know this well, and they always engage in his service. Arjuna had no doubts about Krishna's position. He had already experienced Krishna's power and opulence, as well as having heard it described by so many rishis. Now Krishna was making it plain. Arjuna was awestruck. Folding his palms, he knelt before Krishna, said, "You are the original supreme person, the ultimate bowl of the absolute truth. Unborn, eternal, and transcendental, you are the greatest of the great, and the possessor of all opulences. This is confirmed by those sages who can see the truth, such as Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyasadeva. And now you yourself are declaring it to me, O Krishna. I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. None can know this, not even the gods and asuras. You alone can know yourself by your own potency, O Lord of all beings, God of gods, Lord of the universe." Feeling a surge of divine love, Arjuna asked Krishna to describe himself further. "Tell me, how it is that you pervade all the worlds, O Lord? How should you be remembered and how can be known? Please tell me in detail of your mystic power and opulences. I never tire of hearing such descriptions and long to taste the nectar of your words more and more." Okay. Yeah, so now Krishna will go on to explain these other glories of the Lord. And as we see, the core part was about the devotion, because that's him as a person. So that's dealing with the full opulent, full aspects of Satchidananda. Now what Arjuna is saying is just the expanded glories from that. You know, how all his different opulences and all his energies and how they're working and all that. As we see, we'll get into those other aspects. But these are actually secondary to the primary aspect of his position as a person. So that discussion then will come up in the next continuing. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.